Our next conversation is, if you were listening to our consumer corner last week with Lula Makhongo, we were talking about the advent of, you know, online shopping and the way it's actually kind of killing the traditional retail store around the world. Barney's New York shut down last week, and of course we've seen from Blockbuster all the way to Toys R Us, many shops are actually closing down in favor of online shopping. And we're curious to find out from Jonathan McCabe, who is the Africa Management Consulting Lead for Accenture products, whether or not South Africa might be going in that similar particular direction. While it's only 1% of retail or so at the moment, it's been growing quite fast. So stay tuned for that conversation with Jonathan McCabe.
Follow Cape Talk on Twitter at Cape Talk.
All right. So do South Africans prefer or still favor you visiting a brick and mortar store above browsing online? More than 2/3 of South Africa are active online users and rely heavily on their smartphones. And online sales are expected to grow about 19%. Jonathan McCabe, what is your view on whether or not this means that brick and mortar stores are doomed?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Yes. So what we see is the paper explores the role of the brick and mortar store. And I think you must consider in both in South Africa and globally, brick and mortar is it's the core of what a retailer is. So while e-commerce represents about 1% of sales, it makes sense that most of your investment would go into the traditional store. The challenge is that focusing solely on the core risks disruption from the outside. So the paper explores the value of pivoting to a broader retail context that blends online and offline experiences into a more coherent manner. And what we did is we looked at e-commerce growth in both developing countries as well as more advanced economies. So when we look at developing countries, including China, India, Brazil, Mexico, what we see is that as the data prices decline, consumers tend to spend a period of years getting used to research on the internet, getting to know, but then you see a sharp hockey stick rise in e-commerce sales. And so, the question is,
e-commerce has been around in South Africa for several years now.
So
where are we on that getting warmed up scale, would you say?
So the challenges have been the cost of data, which is coming down, but probably not quickly enough. So very much at the beginning of that still. So consumers, I would say, are very comfortable and digitally savvy. 90%, as you say, are mobile users. I think half have access to the internet. 2/3 go online every day.
Right.
And you can look at examples like banking apps, where consumers are quite happy to trust financial institutions.
Yes.
60% growth in Capitec and F&B year-on-year usage of the app. So you could say consumers are comfortable using online tools, but they're not necessarily trustworthy of online retailers just yet. And there's some other challenges. So some of the challenges include the experience, where you see that we don't always have a good online experience. It can be inconsistent.
It can
be limited choice. We're charging for delivery, which consumers perceive as too high.
Right.
So the question is, how do I solve for some of those barriers?
And what are your thoughts with that regard? I mean, in that regard.
We look at three big things, which is one, there's an opportunity to integrate e-commerce with the more traditional business. It means shifting the culture of a company from a traditional retailer into a more digital retailer. So you're looking for synergies, more agile way of workings. We can look at Tesco and Kingfisher from the UK, where they created digital hubs, where you can actually incubate, implement new solutions, test what consumers want, see if they work. The other is about modern infrastructure.
Mm.
When we look at how we use analytics, and how we actually can use data to define what consumers want and build better experiences for them.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, Jonathan, but is it as easy as looking over at Tesco and doing a plug and play? So UK to maybe Istanbul to Turkey, I can understand, but UK to South Africa, or the dynamics that we're dealing with, far more sparse metropoles. So what we find with delivery or e-commerce apps is that the people who get serviced very well are in the nodes, Cape Town, Johannesburg, and the like. And there's many consumers that exist in the Karoo and in Durban who sometimes get ignored. And then the second thing being our poor postal or delivery, or at the very least expensive delivery services.
No, you're absolutely correct. So for delivery, there are solutions which you can see overcome some of this. If we look at Takealot with Mr. Delivery.
Yes.
So that's an opportunity to improve that last mile, make it affordable to many more people, and also you bring in more advanced technology, like the ability to track my package where it is, which otherwise they would have to build internally. South Africa is a large country. It has large rural areas which are expensive to service. And what you see, some models, for example, in the U.S., if we look at Walmart, they don't offer the exact same delivery service across the entire country. While you have click and collect available in many places, you have a smaller subset which have at-home delivery.
Right.
It's about balancing, too. How can I use which assets? Perhaps I can bring click and collect into parts of the country where delivery would not be affordable, but I bring it closer to the consumer.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think, okay, so if we can bring those costs down, and I think the Takealot example, I think we also discussed that with Lulama, is a great one from the operator's side, right, from the retailer side, in terms of owning the value chain of delivery, as you say, the integration, as well as the provision of the product. How are we doing in terms of, okay, Takealot has got its ability to spread, but how are traditional retailers, because Takealot kicked off as an online retailer, how are traditional retailers, clothing retailers and the like, who already, for example, the clothing ones, many of them are struggling in terms of competing with the international Cotton On, Zara's, who are competing with Truworths and the like, already competing in the malls. How do we get them to get out into the retail, the online space? Or is the fight just against other competitors, not necessarily for share of digital pocket?
I would argue a lot of this is within the actual consumer experience that they're providing.
Okay.
So integrated experiences, which I don't like the word omnichannel per se, because it kind of blends, it separates the two. But what we're looking for is consistent experiences that blend physical and digital from inline to offline. So it could be how I bring in-store navigation in to help consumers actually find their way through a store, find product. It also looks at the linear purchase behavior of the past, which was I become aware of product, I consider the purchase, I complete the purchase, and I use it. We don't have that same paradigm as much anymore. Mm. Right now, a consumer could come in anywhere in that loop. They could actually purchase, then evaluate, then return. And if you provide, if you build in a lot of impediments, for example, I can't return the product easily.
Right.
I can't give a good review. All of these things inhibit that process.
Okay. So unfortunately, sometimes the actual in-store experience is not a great experience either. So it's difficult to expect these particular retailers to replicate this. But some of the ones who've gotten it right, for example, are the food retailers who seem to have cottoned on to the fact, to the fact that, you know, you can actually, a lot of people, for example, myself, I haven't been inside a store in a food store in months, and mostly because of an injury. It was an injury first, but also who wants to carry groceries? So the experience, as you rightly say, they bring it into the house and they unpack it for you right on the kitchen counter. There's, you know, other than that, it's a few clicks away.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it the Accentures of the world? Who is consulting these companies to give them ideas as to how to improve that experience?
No, I think they're all of the retailers are looking quite broadly. I think they all have pretty good internal teams that are considering this. They're looking to global examples. They're looking at consulting in some cases, but also partnering with other retailers globally, visiting those retailers, trying to take lessons back and ways of working. And it's also a shift. You're changing from, in many cases, a business unit organization, which owned a P&L all the way down, where now I'm creating more product-oriented teams.
Right.
And if retail e-commerce is only 1% in my business, it's hard to prioritize investment to it.
Yeah.
If I just look at it in a business unit, whereas if I stretch it across and I consider the overall experience, I'm willing to put more money into that and create a better experience.
Especially given the fact that I think your report shows 19% growth is the expectation, that's three times faster than in-store sales over the last that are expected. So, yeah.
And it's a small base, but still, it's where we see the growth, which everyone is seeking growth in the economy. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking for the opportunities.
For sure. Well, hopefully some people decide to take this up. Thank you so much, Jonathan McCabe, for highlighting that for us. The report, I'm sure, is available for people to read from Accenture. He's the Managing Director for Products Consulting Africa at Africa at Accenture. Thank you so much, Jonathan McCabe, for joining us. Hope to chat to you again.
Thank you very much.
Take care.